This is Susan Taney and Kathy Poblowski from Lost Dogs of America radio podcast. Today, we're going to talk about some of the key risk factors to help you profile your lost dog. We're going to break this subject down into two parts. We generally categorize missing dogs into opportunistic and dogs that will be very shy or elusive. Today, we're only going to focus on shy or elusive dogs.
So when your dog goes missing, it can be helpful to profile their characteristics to help you determine the best strategy to try to find them. But we also want to stress that we never say never. Even friendly lost dogs may quickly revert to being a shy dog when being lost, but the following characteristics that we will talk about today and in our next episode will help you to decide your best course of action and will help you develop a logical plan to safely recover your dog. So Susan, what are the five, let's talk about the five risk factors which would predispose a dog to being very shy or elusive when lost?
Okay, the first factor would be demeanor. So if your dog who has a shy or wary personality, your dog is more likely to be very elusive when lost.
And so how do you determine that? How would I know? I mean, my dog seems friendly with me. What were some questions that I would ask myself?
Well, is your dog wary around strangers or men? When someone comes into your house, does your dog run into another room? Are they scared of someone who's wearing a hat or using a walker? Is your dog slow to warm up to new people? Or, it can be anything like your dog ducks when there's a car backfiring or something like that. This really doesn't mean that your dog does not have a loving personality, but they're wary of strangers and they're most likely to avoid all people when lost. So that's what we're kind of looking for. We're just trying to look at how your dog reacts around people.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And I think what's happening too, we're adopting out more shy, under-socialized and elusive dogs. So this is becoming more prevalent in lost dog recovery.
And so that kind of leads into that second factor then, doesn't it? So why don't you talk about the second factor?
Okay. We're going to talk about dogs that are rescued from abusive situation, hoarding situations, puppy mills. They may be purchased from a backyard breeder at a very young age, 6 weeks or younger. And these dogs are going to be more likely to be predisposed to shyness. We're also have a phenomenon that we're bringing a lot of dogs over, like street dogs from other foreign countries. We're also bringing in meat dogs. All of these dogs have a very shy, elusive personality. So we need to know, a lot of times we don't know what those backgrounds are, but if you look at their demeanors, a lot of times you're able to figure that out.
Right. And I've even heard about dogs that are like, that end up in a pet store and to end up in the pet store at the optimum age for the pet store to sell them at 6 weeks, that means that they're leaving the commercial breeding facility at 5 weeks and sometimes even younger. So you think that those dogs are, have really missed a lot of time with their mother and their litter mates when they're being taken from their mother so young.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, that's right.
So would you include the newly adopted dogs from shelters or rescues in this origin risk factor?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. I would, because they're going into a new environment, new people, and so it's all new for them.
Okay. And so what's next? What's the third factor?
Well, the third factor is breed. Although all breeds can be shy individuals, the following breeds seem predisposed to becoming shy and wary very quickly when they're lost. And some of those are herding breeds, such as Shelties, Australian Shepherds, and Border Collies, sight hounds, such as Greyhounds, Italian Greyhounds, and Whippets, Chihuahuas, Rat Terriers, and other small sensitive breeds. And we've also found out that Boxers have that same kind of breed factor. Can you think of any other, Kathy?
You know, I can think of lots of mixes that had mixes of those breeds that are definitely were, very elusive. But definitely, I can think of a number of cases with these types of breeds where these dogs have become very elusive and very quickly, doing what we call going into survival mode very, very quickly.
Right.
So what about number four? What's number four?
Well, number four is probably one of my most favorite subjects. It's dogs lost from a location other than home, such as a boarding facility, training facility, doggy daycare, a pet sitter, vet clinic, grooming business, an animal shelter or animal control facility or stray holding facility, foster home, a dog lost on a rescue transport, a newly adopted or purchased dog, missing from a friend or family home, or a dog lost on a camping trip or vacation, or even from a recreational vehicle.
Wow. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And I know you're going to tell us a story in a couple of minutes about your personal experience with this, but boy, yeah, this sure, I mean, we just have a lot of these sorts of situations arise, and it just seems to happen more and more often.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so number five, the last risk factor.
Well, that is loss from a stressful situation, which may or may not include loud noises such as a thunderstorm, fireworks, parades. I know a lot of times, at the marching band, the drums going by, beating their drums really loud. Sometimes they'll have muscle cars and then they're revving up the motors. There's gunfire, cars backfiring, trucks using their air brakes, hot air balloons. Sounds kind of different, but dogs also are very, there's a lot of sight hounds, or they'll see the hot air balloon in front of them. Car accidents, house fires, and even boarding facility fires and natural disasters.
Wow. And I can think of a few more things in there too, like the garbage truck day, right? Some,
Right.
when they slam down the garbage can as they're going along the street, that's can be really scary for some dogs. But yeah, that hot air balloon, that big, we've had, dogs go missing when the hot air balloon makes that big whoosh as it's going overhead. So what does this all mean? When you think about it, and we've got these five risk factors, what does it mean?
Well, it's gonna if your dog has one or more of these risk factors, it's more than likely your dog is going to be out there for a while on its own. And the less likely it will become that your dog will be picked up by a good Samaritan or end up in a shelter. They might not come to anyone, even their owner, and they possibly may need to be lured or trapped. So these are all that you need to put all these risk factors together and look at them, and look at them very logically.
That so I guess what you're kind of saying is, like, let's say I have a dog that has I look at these risk factors and I can say, oh yeah, my dog has two or three of these risk factors. For instance, a border collie lost from fireworks that was newly adopted. Boy, then it sounds like I might really have my work cut out for me, right, to find my dog. It certainly doesn't mean it's impossible, but it means
Correct.
that's going to be, that's going to be a little bit tougher.
Exactly.
I know that you've got some personal experience with some of these risk factors, so why don't you tell our listeners about two of your dogs?
Okay, I had two dogs go missing 2 months apart from two different vet clinics in two different cities. And I'll talk about Ricky first. Ricky was a beagle who went in to have his dental done. And I have to tell you, they did everything right. Ricky had a martingale and a front end harness, and they were clipped together by a carabiner, and they had a leash. So the vet tech was exercising Ricky, and she slipped on ice, and the leash flew up, and Ricky just ran. And the number one risk factor for Ricky was he was very shy and very undersocialized. In fact, Ricky would go out into the backyard and bury himself into a snowbank because he was so shy and terrified of people. And we always had to keep a 25-foot lead on him so we could always kind of lure him back into our house. So we really don't know what his origin was, so we can't use that. The breed we really can't use, but I think in a way we can, because he's a beagle, and a lot of times some beagles do not get socialized that much. So we really don't know what his origin was, but I have a feeling he was a very undersocialized dog. Number four, he went missing from a vet clinic. So he was not missing from our own home. And the last risk factor was that the vet tech slipped on the ice, and that scared the heck out of Ricky.
Right. So that was that stressful situation that we talked about. Right. Number five, right? Yep.
Right, right. Now, Ellie, I don't know. I mean, I could tell how we got her. I got him back. I don't know if that makes any difference.
Might as well.
Yep. What we did is we flyered the heck out of the town, and we started getting sightings right away. And it's kind of funny because my husband was afraid he was going to get eaten by coyotes. And that wasn't my biggest fear. My biggest fear was somebody was going to take him and said, oh my gosh, he's been abused and I would never see my dog again. But we started getting sightings, and we were able to actually corner him. And my friend had a very, very friendly beagle named Aaron, which he had on a 50-foot lead. So when we had him cornered, he let Aaron go out, and Ricky just melted and went to Aaron, and then we were able to pick up Ricky's lead.
Wow, in that. Great.
Yeah, and he was out for more than 24 hours.
Yeah. So you now, used a magnet dog.
Right.
We'll talk about in another episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Excellent magnet dog. She had worked on other cases too.
Okay.
My second one was Ellie, which was a little basset hound mix. She actually came from Kentucky, went to Wisconsin, and then ended up in Illinois. So think about that. Here's a dog that's been in the first week of her rescue. She's really discombobulated in a way. So she goes to the vet because she had some skin issues. And an hour before I was to pick her up, they said, Susan, Ellie has gone missing. And what happened was she backed out of the slip lead that the vet tech was using. And again, we used flyers, we used Google Maps. We were getting, she would not come to any of us. She, just terrified anybody. And it took us 30 days, but through persistent, we did different things. The first night we had really thought maybe I could lure her in. We had positioned ourselves pretty much at different areas of this area where she was lost, and we could see her running around, and I was waiting for her at the vet clinic laying down, you know, thinking maybe she would come to me, but she only knew me for, you know, overnight. So my scent, or I wasn't even, you know, friendly to her. But the one thing that's important to know was she kept coming back to the area, and we set up a feeding station. We really got the message out for people, if they saw her, to just let her be, you know, and just call us with a sighting. And we were able to trap her 30 days later within about 100 feet of the vet clinic.
Wow. Wow.
And I guess I should say, too, what she was very shy. Mm-hmm. Threshold shy. She would not go doors. She was very extremely, extremely afraid of men.
Okay.
We didn't know her origin.
Okay.
And I guess the stressful situation, she was at a vet clinic.
Yeah.
And then saw her chance to escape.
Yeah.
When the slip lead went loose.
Right. Wow. Wow, but good job getting her back. Even though it took a month, you just, you know, to have, we're patient and logical, and
yes,
you know, maybe have the help of the community to to just let her be, like you said. And we're going to talk about that a lot again in future episodes as well.
Well, and Kathy, I think you've had one too, right?
We did. Well, we've had several, but the one that, of course, always comes to mind that kind of fits into this is, so, you know, again, going through the risk factors. Now, this was not a very shy dog to begin with. She'd been quite a friendly dog. But so one and two, I wouldn't say were so important. But number three breed, she was a Chihuahua Rat Terrier mix. And then she was lost from somewhere other than home. She was lost from a store. She was in a store parking lot. The people had just adopted her and had stopped to buy some supplies. And so four and five, she was in an unfamiliar situation. And the stressful situation was she had just been adopted by a new family. And she managed to get out of that car in a Walmart parking lot. She was a Chihuahua Rat Terrier mix, so those last three risk factors made her very difficult to catch, but she was finally successfully caught about 4 months later, survived through a horrible winter, and that story is on our website if you're anybody's interested in Googling or searching it on our website. It's her name was Princessa, and I talk in that article quite a bit about how we did recover her. But again, those things that, you know, led up to her just being, she wasn't just going to come up to anybody. She was a very, very elusive dog to catch. So we hope that you have found this information to be helpful. And in our next episodes, we want to talk about the risk factors for the other kind of dog that we profiled, that we call that the opportunistic lost dog. And again, we want you to understand that these risk factors are not the be-all, end-all, but they can help you develop a good plan of action to help you safely recover your dog. We never say never. So we don't want to make it sound like we can just, you know, pigeonhole every case, because we can't. Every dog is an individual, and we never say never. Any dog can become elusive quickly. But that being said, having a good game plan and using logical thinking will help you recover your dog safely.
Regardless of your dog's risk factors, immediately file a report with our partner, Helping Lost Pets. This will create a free flyer and social media links so that you can start to spread the word about your missing dog. Your flyer will also be posted on our corresponding state Facebook page. Print it out. Hand deliver your flyers door to door in the area where your dog was last seen and to all the local vet clinics, shelters, and police departments. And it's important to do that because you don't want to rely on services, free or paid, who said they will alert shelters and vets for you. Those emails may never be received or opened and or never seen by the staff. Your dog may end up at their facility and adopt it out or put down without you even being notified.
This is Kathy Poblowski reminding you to never give up. Lost dogs have been recovered weeks, months, and even years after they went missing.
And this is Susan Taney reminding you that not all stray dogs are homeless. Remember to always assume that a dog you find has an owner somewhere looking for him. And we hope these tips we provide will help you find your missing dog.
Thanks for listening.